Luke chapter 3. I'm going to read 22 verses this morning. Who knows if I'll get through it? But I want to, I've loved how I think the Bible has laid out, God has laid out just these early years of Jesus. So we went from his birth, we went to his dedication during the first 40 days. We saw him last week at age 12. Now what we're going to see here is a hastened description of John the Baptist declaring that the Messiah is here. And then we're going to see Jesus introduced, and when he begins his public ministry, that he will declare that. Look at verse 23. Obviously, I had to read an extra verse. But by the time we get here, look at what it is. And Jesus himself, verse 23, began to be about 30 years of age. And so we went from his early childhood to 12 years old, has that one incident, and now we pick up Jesus at age 30, and the rest of Luke will be about Jesus' public ministry. So not a lot on his childhood, but boy, there was a lot, I think, that we could learn last week from Jesus at age 12. Let's read this. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 22, it says, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of the Lord came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he, John the Baptist, came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, What shall we do then? He answereth and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will throughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Verse 19. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Again, I'll just call this the title of the message, the launch of Jesus' public ministry. Now let's just look at this. It's John the Baptist is sent. Verse 1 and 2 give us a great historical perspective. Very good and interesting stuff. You want to go just research that and, and find out. It just all fits. Pontius Pilate was there at the launch of Jesus' earthly ministry. He was in existence. I'm not saying he was there at the baptism. But so then 3 years later, he's also there, and he's the one that pronounces or gives over to the Jews Jesus in order to be sacrificed on the cross. Annas and Caiaphas, they were also on the scene when Jesus began his public ministry. I'm not saying they were necessarily at his baptism, but they were also there for his demise, and they were key leaders used of the devil for that as well. But look at verse 2. It says this. It says, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. First thing I wanted you to note this morning is the Savior has arrived, or John would be saying, he's here, he's coming. And so just look at this in verse 3. And John came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We'll get that in my second point. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, or Isaias, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so John's job was to prepare the way of the Lord. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is here. When John sees Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look what Jesus does. He says in verse 5, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The effect, the impact of Jesus is dramatic. If you will allow the spiritual picture of verse 5, every valley shall be filled. The valleys are what? The low places. The lowly. I want you to understand this. If you are feeling lowly, disregarded, irrelevant, unimportant, then you should listen up this morning, because Jesus is interested in you. He says this. He says that every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Those that are exalted will be debased. Those that are debased will be exalted in Christ. Christ will either be your exaltation, or Christ will be your demise. He says this. He says, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight. I want you to understand this. Jesus is the one that changes you, not you. I say it over and over again, and I hope you remember that. You should expect to see improvement, direction, if you've truly believed on Jesus Christ. You should expect him to change your life. Now, I know you get discouraged when you fail. Get back up, turn to him again, and he will help you. I tell this all the time. It's one of the things I love about getting older. I've seen the faithfulness of God. It has nothing to do with me. Oh, is God good? The fact that I get to serve him, the fact that I get to preach, the fact that I get to tell people about Jesus at age 58 is one of the greatest privileges ever. He should not allow me to do that. But it's his goodness, it's his faithfulness, and it screams of a great God. He gets a bad rap. He says this, he says, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. I want you to tell, we are in a very similar situation as they were in the first century. They'd been looking for the Messiah for 4,000 years. God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees 2,000 years prior to this. We've been 2,000 years since Jesus came. And we are looking for the return of the Messiah. This message could be for us. They were looking for the arrival of the Messiah. We are looking for the return of the Messiah. And are you impressed with Jesus Christ? That's the question. Are you in awe of Jesus Christ? It's easy to say yes on Sunday. What does your life look like on Monday? What does your life look like on Tuesday? Where is your heart? This isn't about putting you on a guilt trip. This is so that you examine yourself. We will see this soon, because there is coming a day where you will stand before God, you and you alone, and God will perfectly judge you. That's real. I don't say that to frighten you. I tell you because that is truth. What is it that motivates you to live? What is it? He says the Messiah is coming. Then what does John preach? I will tell you, it's the same thing we need today. We must repent. Look at this. Look at this in verse 3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. I want you to understand, this is the same message I preach. You know how I know that? This isn't a second way to have your sins removed. That's what the remission of sins is. And so I want you to know this. When the Bible speaks of repentance, it's speaking of that you must turn from your sins, a change of mind, change of direction, turn in faith to God. Turn in faith to God, believing on His Son, Jesus Christ. When it talks about the baptism of repentance, they must understand that, and so must you. It's the message that's missing today. The message today is you can have Jesus and your fornication too. You can have Jesus and do whatever you want. That is not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible says you will abandon, you will turn from that old way, and you will turn in faith to Christ. And I will tell you this, at least you'll struggle, at least you'll fight, and by God's grace, you will never give in to this flesh permanently. You know what I'm saying? You may temporarily, and then you get back up and you do what's right, but I will tell you, if you wallow in mud like a pig, then you're a pig. The Bible says no fornicator, no adulterer, no liar. If it's the pattern of your life that you wallow in sin, it should be a question mark for you. Not that you could ever lose your salvation, but did you ever have it? You see, that's the question, because it's a true turning. It's a change of mind unto God. You see, that's what repentance is. And let me tell you this. John the Baptist was preaching to Israel. The issue with Hope Baptist Church, let's not talk about any other church. We must repent of our selfishness, of our me too. I'm looking in the mirror. Of a life that is more interested in me, in my comfort, in my whatever. I tell people all the time, and you'll see what John addresses. You know nearly what John addresses when they say, "What shall we do?" And I think they were asking because they had truly turned from their sin. They had truly repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saying, "What shall we do?" If you look at every one of them has a link to what? Money. Interesting. Just flat out. This is what is the issue. Here's the reality. Nearly every single believer in America is more faithful to their employer than they are God. There's probably not one person in here you give God 40 hours a week. I'm not telling you have to. You say, "Steve, you don't understand." I'm just telling you this. I don't think I understand. You go to work sick, but I can't come to church sick. I'm not beating you up. I'm telling you this. You're going to think I'm preaching rules. I'm not. Why do we not want to tell people about Jesus? Why do we not? Why aren't we just... Here's the number one thing. I want you to understand this. And I need to do this more. And I need to do this. I need to be desperate. When I have free time, you know what I should do with my free time? I've got one of two choices that would be good, holy, and eternal choices. I need to either spend time and abide in Christ and immerse in Christ and spend time with Him alone in prayer and in His Word, or I need to be out there trying to find people that will let me tell them about Jesus Christ. You know, the reality is, I don't know one person that does that in our church. I don't know one person that says, "I've got free time, I'm going to go try to reach souls." And then we wonder why people aren't being saved. You understand? Again, I'm looking in the mirror with myself. How often do I do that? Not enough, not even close. It's ridiculous. When I look at this message and John says, "Repent, turn, are you bothered? Don't expect people to be saved if we're not going and trying to reach them. We're waiting for them to come to us." That's not the message of the Bible. Jesus is coming again. And when we face Him, everything will be clear. What are we living for? The Jews, the audience of John the Baptist. they were as religious as they come. They were in the synagogues. They were doing the sacrifices. And they had religion down like nobody else. John told them that they needed to repent. They needed to turn. They needed to just abandon all. Here is the question for us, oh Christians. I think God will use us. He will. If we just get out there. We're going to start outreach again in March when we have the time change. And I love that. And I know this. We'll have great support. 1 hour a week. I'm thankful for all that come. What happened in November, December, January, and February? What happens in all the months when we are just at home? You have extra time? What are you doing with it? Could anybody go to heaven with what you did this past week? I'm looking in the mirror. I better never get too busy. I'll cancel Bible studies if I get too busy to try to reach new souls. I want you to understand there is a lethargy, there is an apathy, there is an indifference in the churches of the Lord today. 2,000 years later, we are Israel. Full of religion, but not of Christ. I'm not interested in guilt trips. I'm interested in repentance. I'm interested in repentance, a true turning, an abandonment, and that I will do something different. That's what true repentance is. True repentance will result in us, and I'm not angry with you. I mean, who knows how I come across sometimes. My wife of 36 years, you know, this is how I talk. She would think I'm mad at her right now. She'd go, I don't know why you're so angry. I'm like, I'm not angry. Have you not figured this out yet? This is just the way I talk. If I'm not excited about it, I don't talk about it. If I'm excited about it, this is how I talk. I talk about this with everything. But I shouldn't be angry. I'm not angry. I love you. You know why I preach this? You know why I challenge you? Because I believe we are this close. We are this close to doing what's right. Really letting go of the stupid things of life and turning to Christ and doing what's right. And we just might see Him. I want to reach Wildwood. And that sounds so foolish. Not even close. I know God can do it. Will I just let go of Steve? And will I just put myself out there, and it, you know what? Not for just 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, a year. I'm going to do it because that's what God's told me to do, and I know this. He cares more than I do, and He will use me, and He will use you, and He'll use our church, and there's nothing impressive about us at all. That's not me putting you down. I just want us, I don't want us to be just a church that assembles. I want us to be a church that goes. I want us to be a church that we are broken and burdened. I want you to ask this question. In the last year, in the last 5 years, how many souls have you been blessed to reach for Christ? If you're the average Baptist, it's zero. It should bother you. It's a fruitless tree. It should bother me. It should bother us. And so what I want to do is, we can talk repentance. And you know this. This is the message missing from most churches today. It's that, you know, it's a feel-good message that says, hey, Jesus loves you. And He does. But boy, they misrepresent that. There's twice in this passage that hell is referred to. I want you to not kid yourself. Are you truly in the faith? Are you truly one of the Lord Jesus Christ's? Or are you just playing religion just like everybody else does? And let me tell you, I better look in the mirror. I'm telling you, I want to listen to this message, and I want to just start going out more and more just on my own in desperation. I asked Jacob this past week, I said, what would happen if you had zero in your Sunday school class? Would you do something different? He said, I would. I said, then live like you have zero coming in your Sunday school class. I need to live as though the whole sanctuary is going to be empty next week. And you know what? I'm not saying that's the right motive. Not. You know what the motive is? I don't want to just preach to my wife. I do that Monday through Saturday. But it is, it's probably driven by pride, but if I'll tell you this, I want to get out there. I just want to do it. I want to reach people for Jesus Christ and find out people that will let me teach them and find them out. What are you doing with your time? How are you going to reach people for Jesus Christ? See, I think we need to answer that question, and if you're not, then repent. Repent. Third thing I want you to stop. I've got some verses. I forgot of all these verses. Look at these verses. This is not a new message. Ezekiel chapter 14, two verses from Ezekiel. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. We idle so many things. Look at Ezekiel 18:30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Let me show you just a couple of verses, just in case you're thinking this is a different message. Now after John was put in prison, this is Mark, Jesus came in Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance and faith go hand in hand. I want you to understand that. Then said Paul in Acts chapter 19, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. I want you to understand that. The Bible didn't put those words in Luke chapter 3, but that's what John the Baptist was preaching. You cannot preach the remission of sins without preaching faith in Jesus Christ. But I want to help you this. You cannot preach faith in Jesus Christ without preaching repentance and a turning away of your sins. Do you understand that? Now, what we do with the rest of our lives, we must fight this flesh. We must fight just being overcome by this flesh and trust that the Lord will give us victory. Now, I want you to look at verse 8. Don't trust in religious tradition. Look at this. He looks at them. Look at verse 7 and 8. He says, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. The Jews would say this, don't worry, John. Abraham's our father. We're in. We're good. I can't tell you how many people I knock on their doors. And I'll say, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? It doesn't matter. I could just start, well, I'm Mormon, Muslim, I'm Catholic, I'm Hindu, I'm this. They got a label. Their faith is in the label. But see, the question is your faith in Jesus Christ? Everybody I meet tells me that it is. And yet, they love sin. Maybe the only difference, and this is becoming the reality of Baptists. The only difference between Baptists is we go to church more than most. How are we, and I'm not interested in just having more rear ends and just busting at the seams. That's just more responsibility for me. I want more responsibility if people are being saved. But if we are doing the work of God, we should not be able to fit people into this sanctuary 1 year from now. We're doing the work of God, right? It's not about numbers. I'm not telling you this, but it's this. You know, I could go on every single person looking at them. It's like, who are you reaching for Jesus Christ? But we trust in religious tradition. Well, the church will do it. Well, the pastor will do it. And the pastor, well, should be doing the work of God. But no different than that, we should be doing the work of God. We trust in religious tradition. Oh, don't you worry about me. It is, I'm telling you, I told these young men, three of them right here this morning, I told them yesterday, I said, you know what the greatest sign is that you're truly a believer in Jesus Christ? We went over Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I love the way it's written, because it's written if you didn't have verse 10. Verse 9 says, it looks like there's two things you got to do to be saved. Not saying that. It looks like you got to confess and believe. Well, verse 10 gets the right order. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But verse 9, I love, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's very similar to Mark 16, 15, that says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Because you understand this, when you truly believe, you'll follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But what was necessary for eternal life is faith. But I want you to know this, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, it's this. What goes along, the number one evidence that you're a Christian is that you will tell people about Jesus, that you will confess him, that you will talk about him, that you will tell others about him. And do you know this? We have a silent majority in the Lord's churches today. A silent majority. We need to be more vocal. I'm telling you, it is so crazy. Everybody will listen to me. I'm not always on it. I test things sometimes. There was a guy that showed up. Spectrum was supposed to show up the other day to upgrade our Wi-Fi stuff and all that. I don't exactly know what they were going to do, but they said it was free. So I said, yeah, come on in. And they didn't show up at 9 o'clock. So I had to leave. I was leaving about 11:15. And Spectrum showed up, and he was the wrong Spectrum guy. He said, is this 9801? And I said, no, it's not. And I said, but you know this? This just the Lord just, I said, come here, I got something to give you. He got out of his van because I was too lazy. And I was in my car. We passed him and we stopped. I said, oh, hey, I've got to go. Sorry, because he was here. I thought it was a guy that was supposed to be here at 9. And I said, do you know for sure what God requires for heaven? And he said, I don't. I said, would you like to know? He said, I would. I said, here, I want you to read this. Call that number in the back. It'll come to me. And free lunch or dinner on me. I'll meet with you. That's not, I'm nothing, guys. You know, I brought that up to tell you this. The Spectrum guy. He listened to me for 2 minutes. People will listen. What do you fear? Why don't we do it? I'm concerned with this. When confession doesn't follow salvation, it may be that salvation didn't really occur. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You'll never find this. It is, you confess the Lord, it's great evidence. Now, you may do it mechanically at first, but it'll be from your heart if it's real. It is religious tradition will destroy us. Now look at verse 9. Verse 9 says this. It's a shocking verse. He says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. I want you to look in verse 17. Speaking of Jesus here, who says, whose fan is in his hand. What they would do, this would be the separating of the wheat from the chaff. This would be separating the seed of the wheat from the useless parts of the stalk. And they would throw it up in the air, and they would fan the debris, and it would separate. The seeds would follow, and the chaff would be blown. It's saying this, Jesus has the fan in his hand. He's the one that will separate the chaff from the wheat, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff will burn with fire unquenchable. Here is the reality. If you are not his, you have one thing ahead of you for all of eternity, and that is the unquenchable fires of the lake of fire. It's serious. I think of our young people. They come week after week after week, and I love it, and I'm okay. I'm okay if you only come because you have friends here. Keep coming. But I look at our young people, and I want them to know, do you know Jesus? Is Jesus truly the one that you want to live for? Do you wake up on Monday and think about Jesus Christ? If you're his, you should. If you're truly the Lord's, because I know this. I know we flail and we fail, but Randall, don't you think of the Lord every day? Noah? And I know we fail, right? If I just built, we think of the Lord every day. And part of it is because we have failed. Nassim, do you think of the Lord every day? You want to honor him? Maram, think of the Lord every day? You see, this isn't something unique. This is something that if you're his, then you're his 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And this is a time where we get together and we're reminded. I'm reminded that the King is here. The King is coming. I need to turn from my selfishness. I need to turn from my self-focus. And I need to honor the King today. not because I have to, but because he's a great king. You know, I'm fascinated by all the nomination process of a new president, right? And how much people will fight to be a cabinet representative of the president. What a prestigious position they view it as. It's nothing compared to being a child of God. You see, and we didn't have to fight. Jesus did all the work. It's by grace through faith. God saved us. You see, it's so simple, so simple. And so I want you to understand, do not trust in religious tradition. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're familiar with this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you're either in your sins or in Christ. He says he is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Now, I know this, I've been a Christian for over 50 years. And so when you've been a Christian a long time, you've got to constantly reevaluate, constantly discard bad habits, constantly discard selfishness, constantly discard just apathy. You have to fight comparison. Who cares? If I compare myself, what I love to do is I love to compare myself with faithful servants in the past. And you know what the reality is? I'm a puke. That's the truth. I'm not here to exalt Steve Hall. I'm here to exalt Jesus Christ and tell you this. He's worthy of all. And I want us to ache. I want us to yearn. I want us to love serving him. Verse 9, you know, I told you, God will be our judge. Do you understand that? If there's a question in your heart today, here's what I tell you to do. I'm not going to ask you to come up and ask me. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. If there's a question in your heart today that you're saved, then ask the Lord to help you tell people about Jesus. See if you can do it every day for 3 straight months. That's 90 days. I know that'll be tough. But see if you want to do it or you don't care. Versus coming to me, I can't tell you whether you're saved or not. I will tell you this, go tell people about Jesus and see if you hate it. Try it for 90 days. I didn't say just 7. Because maybe you could grind through it for 7 and check the box and say, well, I must be saved. Let me tell you this, if in 90 days your heart hasn't changed, even though I know this, every time there's always some hesitation. There always is. If you practice that for 90 days, you'll find out if you're a Christian or not. You will either hate every minute of it, or you'll be glad that you did it. I love Ron's honesty with Wednesday nights, right? It's tough because we go out door knocking, and sometimes you got to... Right? Are you glad every time you've gone out, though? And then the next week, it's like, I don't want to go, right? Fair? I'm not saying every week. I think Ron's lost. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's real. But what Ron articulates is the reality with so many of us, right? Because it's like, oh, I don't want, oh, I'm always glad. You'll find out real quick. Don't come up to me and say, you can come up to me and say, I'm not sure I'm saved, and I can take you through Scripture. But I believe nearly every single person in here, you know what salvation is. It's just repenting, turning from your sins, turning from yourself, abandoning all, and then trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save you. It's not complicated. But what is complicated is to figure out, how do I know if I've really believed, right? Let me tell you, the best way, test your confession. You're not willing to tell people about Jesus, you're probably not saved. That's what the Bible says. That confession and faith go hand in hand. God will be our judge. Why am I preaching this message today? Because I don't want more people going to hell that I preached to than going to heaven. If we truly get this singular thought down, Our church will be different. You will be different. You'll have the joy of the Lord, and we will have more problems. Amen? I love looking around. There's so much potential in here if we only repent. If we only say, your time, my time is your time, and I will submit. We have no idea how God might use us. If in 90 days you hate telling people about Jesus, it's pretty good indication that you're not saved. If you're locked up in your house, what I'd tell you to do is go get a Diet Mountain Dew every day. Bring it to my house, drop it off. But when you go get the Diet Mountain Dew, then tell the clerk at the counter, I just want to give you this. It'll tell you what the Bible says is necessary for eternal life. That's it. 10 seconds. 10 seconds. And then ask the Lord to maybe one more step. Maybe the second time you see that clerk, right? It's, hey, I want to tell you, I'd love to, you and I, just to meet, woman to woman, men with men. So, you know, don't be hitting on anybody that's opposite gender. But it is, I talk to the lady cashiers, and I'll say, my wife and I would love to have a Bible study with you. And I tell them, I'll never meet with a woman by myself, because the testimony of Jesus Christ is worth it. But boy, we'd sure love to meet with you. We'll have you over for dinner. We'd love that. Just practice it for 90 days. You wonder if you're saved? Test it. You hate it? Probably not saved. And then I'll save you a ton of time. Probably shouldn't say this. I love lost people coming to church. But church isn't for lost people. You can save yourself a lot of time. No need to come to church if you don't love Jesus. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Those of you that are lost in our midst today, you are of all people most miserable, because you're straddling the fence and you're trying to convince yourself you're a Christian, but in your heart of hearts, you know you're not. John the Baptist was preaching to the same people, religious people, that had gotten full of religion and forgotten their cause. Final thing I want to show you, I'll just do this, I won't finish everything, but verses 10 through 14, it's truly saved people want to do what's right. Look at this. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do? You see, tonight we're going to see in Hebrews 13, it says to listen to those that have the rule over you, because we do it because we want you to have joy. I'm not telling you this morning because I want you to be miserable. I want you to actually enjoy life. When you're miserable, it's because you've probably gotten off track. And so true repentance, you know what it does? True repentance says, what do I need to do? How can I honor the Lord now? What shall we do then? And now, you understand this. If people were just to read this and not understand salvation, then that's why so many people think doing good things is how you get to heaven. That's not what this is saying. Showed the young man yesterday, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Many of you could quote it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, that's verse 10, created by Christ Jesus unto good works. Not by good works, but unto good works. You see, if we truly have the spirit of repentance and we truly turn from our sin, we just want to know, what does God want me to do? John keeps it pretty simple. Look at verse 11. He answered and said, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Hoarding was an issue in the first century. Hoarding is an issue in the 21st century. God says, give it away. Give it away. Find people to give it away to. Find people to give it away to. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Look at verse 12. The publicans, these were the tax collectors. What the tax collectors did, you know what they would do? Rome would say, you know, let's just say you got to bring in $10,000 a month. Anything you bring in over and above is yours. And so the publicans were hated because they could change anything they want and they would have the full backing of the Roman army. People hated the publicans. They were considered the worst of the worst. They viewed publicans worse than they viewed harlots. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? You see the answer specifically to them. And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. They're like, whoa. So here's what he tells the publicans. You're going to be the most hated people, and you're not going to get rich off it anymore if you want to do what Jesus wants. Don't exact any more than that is required. He says that. He says, don't exact any more than that which is appointed you. He tells them this. Stop living for money. Live for Christ. Look at verse 14. The soldiers the same way. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man. The soldiers could bully people, and they would bully people in order to get payment. Look, he says, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely. You would accuse people falsely, so they would pay up and be content with your wages. Is that fascinating? That everything that they dealt with had to do with stuff and money? Here's the reality. I've seen it all the time. When someone gets saved, they stop fornicating. They do. I've just seen it every time. But you know what we struggle letting go of? Oh. Try to make it smaller. Money. 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 Things. See, he instructed them on some weird things, right? You'd think he would tell them, you know, you'd think if I was John the Baptist, I would go tell everybody about Jesus Christ. I think that was also the message, but that's not what the Bible records here. He deals with them where they're at, and he says this. You want to be free? You want to be able to serve Jesus? Then stop loving stuff and money. That was the message. I'm going to end here this morning. The early ministry of Jesus. John the Baptist introduces Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. The Savior's arrived. The Savior's coming. Will we repent? Oh, Christian, I've been around long enough. Here's what I want you to do. Oh, me of little faith. If you're going to do the 90-day challenge, I want you to tell me privately. And I commit to pray for you. If 5 people come to me, I'll be shocked. Don't do it to impress your pastor. Pray about it this afternoon. See if you're still burdened about it tonight. Don't tell me this morning. I don't want you to do it for me. If 1 person comes up to me, I'll commit to it too. Flaky. Do you know this? I don't tell somebody about Jesus every single day. Not somebody new. If I'm going to preach it, don't you think I should live it, Nassim? Don't tell me this morning. See if it's important enough that you'll tell me tonight. And let's challenge whether or not we're His. And you don't have to agree with me. And I love this. I think there will be some that'll do it and you're not going to tell me, and I'll love that too. But if you need some help and you want some accountability, tell me. I won't be impressed with you, but I will love you and I'll pray for you, and let's just see what God might do. It could be amazing what God might do if we just had 5 that would say, for the next 90 days, by God's grace, I will tell somebody about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, John came. His message was strong. I pray that you'll help your people, that we would not play games with Christ. We would not play games with church. We would not play games with religion. But we would really find out, am I truly a Christian? Am I truly one of the Lord's? Is Jesus truly my Savior? Is Jesus truly my King? Father, I pray you'll get a hold of 8-year-olds. I pray you get a hold of 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, teenagers, 20-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds. Oh, Father, that we would turn from just existing as a Christian, and that we'd put ourselves out there. Father, I pray that you'll be honored and glorified. Don't let this turn into some kind of sham. I don't want it to be. I won't be discouraged if no one comes up. It would just indicate to me that I was goofy, and I pray you'll forgive me. I want to encourage your people to test their faith. And what they're going to find out is when we do what you want us to do, there's nothing better. Oh, Father, give us repentance. Give us brokenness. And may we do your work with delight.